The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Amen. Wow. I didn't realize how difficult it would be to be able to share the Word of God and be able to stand up here and share things with everyone without the audience. But I do have a little bit of an advantage over Pastor Otis. Pastor Otis did an excellent job last week. I really appreciate what he did, bringing the Word to us. But my advantage is that I have a little more of an audience this morning. Todd was going to try to show everyone what we have here. You got it? Go ahead. Show them our audience. Oh, he did. Okay. All right. Great. I was looking for it on the screen. I'm sorry. I was expecting it to come up there. But so you got to see my audience. They're a wild bunch. You can see, look at them. They're out of control. But I really appreciate the fact that who did this? Did you guys do that? No, you don't. Do we know who did this? Tony, did you do that? No? I don't know who did this, but yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's all right. That's pretty neat. I really appreciate that. Well, praise God. We're going to jump right into this message this morning. I'm going to talk about fear not. I believe it's an appropriate topic because there's a lot of fear that's going around. But you know, fear is typical. It's a part of our human experience, but we're living in unusual and trying times, and fear seems to be growing in our community and our society. But we do need to understand that fear is a part of the human experience. Denying the emotion is not being honest with who we are and with our Creator, because, you know, He did place in us the ability to recognize when something is dangerous, and that creates a fear response. However, we are also told that we're not supposed to allow fear to overtake us. We're not supposed to allow fear to dominate us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So fear can be a motivator to keep us safe sometimes, but fear can be very dangerous as well. I'm reminded of the story that I read this week about old Pete, who was a great fisherman. He would always catch fish no matter what happened. He would catch fish. When no one else was catching fish, old Pete always caught fish. And the game warden started to get suspicious about old Pete. So he came to old Pete one day and he said, "Pete, I want to go fishing with you." Pete said, "Sure, hop in the boat." So he took the game warden out to a remote area in the lake and back in a cove. And old Pete got his net out and he had this bag with him. And he got down inside the bag and pulled out a stick of dynamite, lit it, threw it out in the lake, and boom. Dead fish came to the top of the water, and old Pete just started scooping out the fish, putting them in his boat. The game warden said, "Pete, you can't do that. That's against the law. I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to put you in. I'm going to throw the book at you." And old Pete just calmly laid down his net, picked up a stick of dynamite, lit it, threw it in the game warden's lap. And he said, "Now, are you going to sit there and criticize me all day, or are you going to go fishing?" I like that, because sometimes we are motivated by fear to do things that we would not normally do. And I want to caution you about that. Do not allow fear to dominate you. Fear can be a great motivator, though. In Scripture, we are encouraged not to allow fear to control our lives. If you remember the story of Joshua, who was a great leader in Israel, he was in a difficult time, a time of great pressure, when they were going into the land of Canaan to capture the land. And this is what God told Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's promise to Joshua stands true for us today. We can trust that our God is with us. Proverbs 4:27 also tells us to ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. So it's really important that we understand that we need to think about, we need to ponder, we need to be prudent about the things that we do. It's absolutely essential that we act sensibly, particularly in a situation like we're going through right now. Now, when we're in a situation like this, we do need to get good information. That helps us to establish our path. And there's a lot of disinformation out there right now. As I was listening to the news this morning, they were reporting on I don't know whether it was Facebook or YouTube post that someone had put up. They used a national newscast, a couple of them, and then they twisted it in a way that made it sound like that if you eat bananas, it would kill the coronavirus. Well, then, of course, the news, the media did some research on this and found out that that is absolutely not true. But bananas are good for you. Eat bananas. They have a lot of nutrients, things that you need, but it does not kill the coronavirus. There's a lot of bad information out there. So make sure that you get good information from good quality sources. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. I've already quoted it this morning. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Greek word here for fear can mean three things. It can mean timidity, can mean fearfulness, and can be cowardice. And I'd like to address all three of those this morning in my message. First of all, timidity. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, to be timid. One of the definitions given for timidity in the Webster's is a lack of confidence. As believers in Christ, we do not rely on our own confidence. We rely on the confidence that we have in Almighty God because we have Holy Spirit living inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit who is living in us. We have it. We have the Holy Spirit from God. It's not us, but it's Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That's a unique situation that we have the power of God living inside of us as believers in Christ. We're not relying on ourselves. We're relying on the insight, the wisdom, the direction, and the steps that our God orders for us through Holy Spirit living in us. This is a time to confidently trust our God with every situation. We need to look for opportunities to serve other people when we can. Our society is sort of in a panic right now, and it's the responsibility of the church to convey the peace of God. Christ Church is not just a venue. You know, we have a venue here on Sunday mornings. We come together and worship, and you know, it's an awesome venue. I appreciate that opportunity. But we're not just a venue. That's not what church is. Church is a group of people who understand that they belong to the living God. And regardless of whether we can congregate together or not, we're still part of the body of Christ. I have brothers and sisters in churches on Sunday mornings when we have normal life, well, normal chaos, I guess I would call it. When we have our normal chaos, on Sunday mornings, we have different churches that we attend, but we're all part of the body of Christ. Those who make Christ their personal Savior and serve Him with all their heart, soul, and mind are a part of the body. We're a part of the body in Germany, in Italy, in France, in all parts of Europe, Israel, it doesn't matter, South America, Canada, all over the world. There is the body of Christ, and we are a part of an immense body that serves the living God. It's a group of people who experience life-giving power in Jesus Christ, in the natural, and more important, in the supernatural. The supernatural realm is still alive today. God is still doing miracles. God is still healing. God is still touching and delivering people. God is still on the move. I know it's not a popular thing to say these days that there's supernatural power in Jesus Christ, that God is healing, God is touching, God is moving, but it's real, and we believe it, and we trust Him. These people who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all of us, need to stand up. It's not a time for the church to be timid. A timid church will not carry the cross when it's most needed. It's needed right now. Our communities need us. Fearfulness is the second thing that I want to talk about. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Another way to interpret that, or the way that word is interpreted, is fearfulness. Fearfulness in the dictionary is causing or likely to cause fear, fright, or alarm, especially because of a dangerous quality or situation. Psalms 23:1 tells us this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Wow. We want for nothing because our God is our shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This is a psalm of David. David knew what he was talking about when it came to shepherding sheep. He shepherded his father's sheep when he was a young man. He understood sheep completely. He knew that sheep, now we don't like this much, but the reality is we are compared to sheep as people and even as the body of Christ. But sheep are not real smart animals. A flock of sheep will follow the leader's sheep right off a cliff, one right after another, and not even stop. We are compared to that. And you know, as we look around in our world and we've seen cults and all kinds of things happen in our world, people have a tendency to follow somebody who will stand up and lead, rather, even if they're not leading in the right direction. A few years ago, there was a cult called Heaven's Gate. Marshall Applegate was a leader of that cult. And they all thought that they were going to go to a bliss with extraterrestrials in some sort of spaceship. But the way they were going to get there was to commit suicide. And 39 people committed suicide to follow Marshall Applegate. That's the reality of why God compares us to sheep. But here's what David told us in there, that because we follow the living God, we can trust Him, that He's going to meet all of our needs. And He makes us to lie down in green pastures, and He leads us beside still waters. You know, I've never been to Israel myself, but those who have told me that it is a beautiful place, but it's not like the land that we have around here. When he's talking about pastures, green pastures, he's not talking about the lush green pastures that we see out in here in our fields. In Israel, a lush green pasture is a place that has sparse pieces of grass all over the place. Even in the rainy season, it's not heavy grass like we have. There's sparse grass, and those sheep would, the shepherd leads them to places where there's bunches of those patches of grass, and he watches them as they go from one patch of grass to another. I think that's likened to us as God leads us in a direction, and He watches us as we go from one area of our life and one situation in our life to another. And He's always there taking care of us. And He leads us beside the still waters. And here's the great thing about still waters is that sheep are afraid of moving waters because they know they'll drown. They don't like rapidly moving waters or deep waters. So these still waters that he's talking about are nice still pools of fresh water. It's flowing, but it's not moving rapidly. He leads us beside that kind of living water that we can bask in each and every day. David understood what he was talking about. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shadow of death is really a compound word, and it means shadow, death, and more literally translated, it would say something more like this: even though I walk through the deepest, darkest valley, the deepest, darkest valley, we know, that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You keep me just like a shepherd with his staff and his rod. He was there to protect those sheep, to rescue those sheep. The staff was an interesting thing because it was used not only to protect the sheep when predators came around, but it was also designed in such a way that it could rescue the sheep, pick the sheep up if they were on a precipice. They could pick them up and pull them up and pull them away from danger. His rod and his staff, they are with us, and he protects us. The psalmist, David, is telling us these words that he gives us conveys the deepest, darkest oppression that you can imagine, but your God is there with you. No matter what. We do live in uncertain times, but let's just remember, we are living in a land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. Hallelujah. This is not our home. And yet we can trust our God's going to take care of us as long as we're here. But eventually, we're all going to depart from this life. Before Christ comes, we're going to pass on. We're going to be with the Lord. And then one day, we're all going to be with the Lord in this earth again, this renewed earth, an earth where Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a perfect earth, just like he created in the beginning, a place for all of us to bask in the presence of Almighty God. We do certainly live in uncertain times, but we can trust our God. The last thing I want to share with you this morning, the word fear also can mean being a coward or cowardice. Psalms 56:4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? The fear of the man, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Listen, what we must understand is that being brave is not necessarily a lack of fear. It's acting in spite of that fear. We need brave people today to stand up. Courage is resistance to fear. It's the mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. It's recognizing that our God has given us the power and ability to overcome fear. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. To know where our power comes from. To understand that this is our loving God, who imparts to us all that we need. And he gives us courage as well to be able to withstand and to go through each and every situation, whatever we encounter in this life. Listen, we live in a time that it's not popular to talk about sin and say that people are sinners. It's not popular to say that Jesus Christ is the only way, even though that's what the Bible teaches. It's not popular to say those things. And yet, for those who know Christ as their personal Savior, that is the only thing we can do, is stand on the Word of God and trust our God. We're all sinners, but we're saved by the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But we must repent and we must receive Jesus as our Savior and allow His blood to cover our sins. Jesus is the only way. According to Him, His own words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. In these days, I believe we're living in the last days. And in these days, I believe it's going to take courageous Christians to stand up, to not be neutral, but to stand up and be strong. In the 1930s, the Nazi Party took control of Germany and the German government, led by Adolf Hitler, of course. The National Socialists, they had radical nationalistic beliefs. The church in Germany was divided. They had three groups, a lot like the groups we have in the United States today. The one group was the German Christians. They were led by Ludwig Miller. That group supported Hitler. Miller eventually became a Christian, or the leader in the Christian community that Hitler supported, and he became known as the Reich Bishop. The second group was Confessing Church. That was the name of them, the Confessing Church, and they were led by Martin Niemöller and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Niemöller was a real thorn in Hitler's side because he opposed Hitler, but the people loved him because he was a U-boat commander in World War I, and people revered him greatly. Niemöller, because of his position against Hitler, was imprisoned in a concentration camp for 7 years. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was not in Germany most of the time because he was teaching in Great Britain. But when he heard all that was going on, he went back. And then he had an opportunity, when things started getting really bad, he had an opportunity to come to the United States. And he did that for a little while. But he couldn't stay. The conviction that he had that was opposed to Hitler, and because he loved his people, he couldn't stay here in the United States. He had to go back. He went back and faced Hitler toe-to-toe, head-to-head, and criticized Hitler. And because of that, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned and then eventually hanged because he opposed him. The third group is not unlike a lot of Christians. We just don't want to get involved. The largest part of the Christian community in Germany refused to commit one way or the other. They sat back and they refused to take a stand. And because they did that, because they refused to stand on the principles of the Word of God, the Nazi Party was able to have their way in Germany. Let me share a letter that was written by a man who lived in Germany during that time. I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. I considered myself a Christian. I attended church since I was a small boy. We had heard the stories of what was happening to the Jews, but like most people, we tried to distance ourselves from the reality of what was really taking place. What could anyone do to stop it? A railroad track ran behind our small church. And each Sunday morning, we would hear the whistle from the distance and then crackling of the wheels moving over the tracks. we became disturbed when one Sunday we noticed cries coming from the train as it passed by. We grimly realized that the train was carrying Jews. They were like cattle in those cars. Week after week, that train whistle would blow. We would dread to hear the sound of those old wheels because we knew that the Jews would begin to cry to us as they passed our church. It was so terribly disturbing, we could not tolerate it at all. And yet we did nothing. We knew exactly at what time that whistle would blow, and we decided the only way to keep from being so disturbed by the cries we heard was to start singing hymns. By the time the train came rumbling past the churchyard, we were singing at the top of our voices. If some of the screams reached our ears, we just sang louder until we could hear them no more. Years have passed now. No one talks about it much anymore. But I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear them crying out for help. God forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians that did nothing to intervene. That's a tough way to end this message. I realize that. But we have some things to consider in our lives. Where do we stand? In this politically correct environment that we live in, it's not popular to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Who knows? I hope it gets better. It may get worse. But I think it's a good time for all of us to decide where we stand. Are we going to serve the living God? Are we going to take a stand for Jesus and tell the world that Jesus is the only way? Or are we going to be neutral? Today, I just ask you to consider. Consider what fear may mean to you. Timid, fearfulness, cowardice. It's absolutely essential that we do not allow fear to overtake us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning because you are a living God. I put my complete and total trust in you. I know that I can trust you in all things, even through this coronavirus. No matter what the outcome might be, Father God, you are on the throne, you are my God, and I worship you. Today, I ask you to just touch the hearts and minds of people. If there are those out there listening this morning that they just have no comprehension of your power, touch their lives. If they do not know that they can, have not known that they could be a born-again believer through receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I thank you, Lord, that that word has gone out, that they will repent of their sin, they will hear your word, and they will know that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is truth and he is life. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word. Continue to guide and direct us and help us, Lord God, to be about your business always. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, love never fails. Have a blessed day.
Let me know your truth.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.